I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
So I recently had a girlfriend of mine, just a friend that's been my friends with me for a long, long time, call me and say, could you forgive me? Would you forgive me for a particular thing, which honestly, I just told her, I said, listen, I got so many people that I have to forgive. You know, you need to get mine because your thing, it's not even that big. Just don't even worry about it. Just forget about it. I've got big lifetime things I got to forgive people for. I mean, seriously. But you know what? That was deeply appreciated. It takes a very strong individual to be able to humble themselves and just say those two words, forgive me, you know, are the most powerful two words you could say. If you could just answer any conflict situation with those two words, I guarantee you'll snuff that conflict out quickly. Just forgive me. That's the answer, ladies and gentlemen. You know, even if maybe you think that you're not necessarily the one that needs to be forgiven, if you want to get things right, keep those two words handy in order. Mm-mm-mm. I'm going to be speaking on forgiveness again this week. I feel Holy Spirit led that I still need to talk about this subject. And as you have probably figured out, if you do follow me, I am a very religious person, and this can be a very religious show. And I am unapologetic about it. So, you know, people are like, well, you got to be open-minded. You know, you're not open-minded. No, I don't. I don't have to be open-minded, and I'm not open-minded when it comes to my spiritual understanding. And, you know, that's why this is my show. So if you want to be open-minded, you can go get your open-minded show. This is something I don't, you know, I don't cut corners on it. People often ask me about success. How I became successful in spite of my formidable years or whatever. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, I don't cut corners. I did not cut corners to get 7 black belts in martial arts. I am not somebody who was handed anything in martial arts. You know, I love Tung Soo Do, hand-to-hand combat based out of the Korean military, because they don't care if you're a man or a woman. You're going to have to do everything that everybody else does. And I greatly respect that. And I've learned to do that. I had to fight men because, understandably, God forbid if I were ever attacked, it's probably going to be someone bigger and stronger than me. I've had to, you know, continue my training. I continued to teach when I was very, very pregnant. I mean, I say this, I was teaching a class 2 days before I gave birth, and I came back 3 days later, mainly because there was nobody else to teach. After a while, you get black belts, you don't have to do that. But listen, I will not cut corners. I don't make fake black belts. They all have to earn their belts, and if they don't, I won't promote them. I didn't cut corners in my career. You know, I take the time to do things right, and if I don't think it's right, I'll start over. I'll do it again, because it has to be a certain quality for me. And I'm that way spiritually, too. I won't cut corners. I don't know everything. I tell everybody all the time on this show, I'm a very fallible person. I got issues I got to deal with, but I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, and I have a spiritual understanding behind those hard smackdowns that I've gotten that I can extend to you. That's right. Heaven has smacked me. I have been smacked by heaven more than once. And to keep you from getting smacked down like that, I'll be glad to extend to you with my own trials and tribulations. And I do use my resource guide, that magical book, the books of books, for me is the Holy Bible. And I do my best to use that as my source book, my go-to book, because I'm not going to spin doctor stuff just from, you know, what I think. If I do, I'll let you know this is what I think. But outside of that, when it comes to spiritual reasoning with my God, my Lord, I will always go back to that book. There has to be a book of books that has the ism and the rules, and that would be my book. All right. All right, let's get down with this stuff. I want to start with a story today. I actually wrote this in a karate column several years ago. And it's about a story, I believe a true story, that took place in France. And it was about a boy named Pablo, I guess a young man named Pablo, and his father. And they got in this huge blowout of an argument, yelling and screaming. And eventually they went their own way. Pablo threw his hands up and he marched off, not knowing if he'd ever see his father again. His father went in the house, shut the door. Weeks went by, months went by. They never contacted each other. And if you've ever gotten a tiff with someone, you know how that works. I mean, years could easily go by. That's not uncommon of anything to happen in anybody's family at any time. I'm fully aware of that. Anyway, Papa, finally he said, okay, I'm going to fix this. He took an ad out in the newspaper, and here's what the ad said. Pablo, all is forgiven. Meet me in Market Square this weekend. We'll make things right. He ran the ad for 3-4 days. Weekend came, and he went, hopefully, sweating and crossing his fingers that Pablo, his son, would be there to meet him to make things right. Middle of the city. He goes, he shows up, and lo and behold, there were over 200 Pablos in Market Square, hoping to get things right with their own papa, including his son. Just to let you know, it is not uncommon and out of the ordinary to get into tiffs, conflicts, whatever you want to call it. But very few are fatal. Most conflicts are not fatal, and they can be readily adjusted, and they can be fixed with the right type of, let's just say, the right type of communication. That's from a physical standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, I want to take that a step further and let you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is just one rule about forgiveness. In the spirit realm, that one rule is you have to forgive. You must. There is no reasoning behind it. Forgive everybody for everything. Listen, I didn't write the rules, okay? And I don't like them either that much. I really don't like them that much myself. They're very difficult. I have a very difficult time following that rule. You have to forgive everybody for everything. Why? Because it's not about them. It's not about letting them get into heaven. It's about you. It's about your future. It's about the funk you're going to bring in a room if you don't do it. It's about your relationships and how your children are going to be raised, even in a very subconscious level when you don't realize it, how you deal with them. They go on and they carry it on generation after generation. You have to just let go. Just let go. I was just counseling a friend of mine who struggles with this because she had a very abusive mother. This woman has got to be in her 60s now. Every time I talk to her, every time I call her, I just would cringe talking to her because I know I'm going to hear it about her mother mistreated her. Her mother mistreated her and how she's not doing good and how her body's breaking down, all because of her mother mistreating her growing up and into her young adulthood. I just had to tell her. I said, you've got to forgive her. If you're asking me how you're going to heal in your body and in your life and in your future, you have got to just let it go and stop talking about it. And she said to me, what are you telling me, sweet stuff under a carpet? I said, absolutely not. You told me your story. You got to stop telling me. You've told me the same story for 30 years. tell me one time, not 30 years. And I'm not kidding. It's been like 30 years. You've got to let go of it. You speak it, you heal it, and you let go of it. There is no other alternative. Guys, I wish I could make it, break it down and make it easier from a spiritual viewpoint, but I cannot, because here's what happens. You see, it's about you. It's about your protection. It's about your protection from evil, demons. Can I say demons and people just, you know, just don't go crazy and lose their mind and everything? Demons are very real. You attract them with negativity. You attract them with the thoughts and the things that come out of your mouth. You got to be very careful about that. They will affect your life. They'll affect your path. They will affect your future. Your protection. It's open season when you don't forgive people. It's open season that you can be attacked and have things go bad in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your relationships. Very, very true. This is a spiritual realm perspective of these things. It also will block any miracles from coming your way. The realm of the supernatural will be held at bay from you if you don't forgive people. So you see why Jesus Christ himself said you've got to forgive people. You've got to do it. You hold back your own blessings. You will slow down, retard, and stall any good thing from coming your way if you don't forgive. These are all points that you need, not the person who did you wrong. The person who did you wrong will go to their grave without asking for forgiveness. 9 times out of 10, that's what happens, because they are not going to be accountable. It's easier for them not to be accountable, because it's hard to say, forgive me. You're humbling yourself. It's humiliating. And some people find it easier to walk away, to ghost, to give you the silent treatment, than to actually approach you and be accountable for certain things. But if you're a spiritual person on this journey, you have to be accountable for things, first of all. Remember, I said keep those two words handy, forgive me. And you have to forgive everybody for everything. I have noticed firsthand that the realm of the miraculous will stall and will stop and be plugged up and clogged if you do not forgive people. You do not forgive them. How do you do it? You know, I don't care if you have to fake it till you make it. Vocalize it every day. Call them by the name. I forgive you. I forgive you. Find ways. If they're deceased, find ways to honor them. Do things in their name to manifest forgiveness. I've had to do this 100 times. Because people have done me wrong that are gone, long gone. I've had to do things in their name to forgive them. I've had to put reminders up with them so that I can look at them or look upon certain items that remind me of them, just so I could say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Do I truly, deep down in the lower chambers of my heart? I'm working on it. Things aren't that cut and dry. It's a process. It's a day-to-day walk, but I'm moving in the right direction. I've turned around, and I'm walking in that direction, and that's all that's asked of us, is to day-to-day make an effort to make an effort to do the right thing. So when my Bible, the book of books, says to live in righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. People get scared of that because they think that they can't have fun. I don't know why righteous to people means anti-fun. The words aren't even in the same definition or dictionary. I'm not sure why righteousness feels like anti-fun to people. It has nothing to do with whether or not you can have fun. I really don't care about all the minor details of how you have fun. Doesn't matter to me. All righteousness is the opposite of wrongnessness. You've got consciousness and you know when you're wrong. You know when you're wrong. Because we're created in the image of God and we feel and we sense that we're wrong. you know, like the devil on one side and the angel on the other, if you want to, you know when you're wrong. You've got to move in the direction of righteousness, which is the opposite of wrongnessness. I used to tell my kid that growing up, when I said, when God speaks of righteousness, he just means don't do wrongnessness. That's just the simplest way to remember it. The things that are wrong, you will attract a certain type of lifestyle. You will cause things to be colored a certain way when you choose wrongnessness. You choose wrongnessness. And a lot of times you're choosing wrongnessness because you are a wounded person. And that wrongnessness feels like medicine to you. Are you listening to me? It feels like medicine, even though you know it's wrong. When you're hurt, you will go to the ends of the world to not be in pain. Pain is a great motivator. I've lived with my husband at one time when he was a chronic pain patient. It affects the whole family when somebody is in pain every second, every minute of the day. For days, weeks, months, years, it affects everybody. And you would go to any means to not be in pain. Ask a chronic pain patient. They'll tell you there is just nothing more helpless than living with pain. I mean, debilitating, crippling pain. It's awful. It's evil. It's evil. It's a demonic assignment, physical pain. Emotional pain is the same thing. Emotional pain, you would go to any means to not feel those bleeding wounds and cuts in your heart all over your face of your soul that nobody can see because you put makeup on and you look pretty. But if they could see your soul with all the scars and the bruises and realize that you are in pain, you're someone that had pain growing up and nobody sees those cuts and you haven't dealt with those cuts, so you find ways to self-medicate. You find people who offer Band-Aids. You're going to be attracted to people because of your wounds. People, wounded people are attracted to other wounded people. Wounded people are attracted to other people, wounded people. Because you're of the same and you feel like that person's going to understand. Even on a subconscious level, you're going to be attracted to people who cause you pain. What? Basic psychology. If you're a woman and you had a father who was emotionally absent or abusive or an alcoholic, you're going to go look for a husband subconsciously. That's the exact same way. You will hook up with someone that's just like that. Don't be surprised. Wounded people are attracted to each other. Same thing with the man. Wounded people are attracted to each other. You have to realize what's going on in the spirit realm because these are all spiritual issues and spiritual matters that have spiritual answers. Now, if someone say to me, you know, I don't understand you. You know, some people who are religious are just so radical. I got my hand raised. Listen, thank God for radical spiritual people. Because we live in a radical world where there are radical problems and somebody better get busy. There's some radical issues out there. But we battle not against flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen, but against principalities of darkness. Book of Ephesians says that, Ephesians chapter 6. We are battling not flesh and blood, but principalities, which are demons stationed in high places, principalities of darkness. This is what we battle. And this is what goes on with your wounded soul. This goes on with your wounded soul. And that's why sometimes a wounded soul will pick unrighteousness, which is wrongnessness. That's why a wounded soul will pick drugs and alcohol. That's why a wounded soul will pick love addictions. That's why a wounded soul will do things they know they shouldn't do because they're looking for medicine. They're looking for medicine. Saints, it's great stuff today. I don't even know if anybody's listening, and I don't care because I have been given an assignment in the Eden assignment, and I have to do it, and I have to vocalize it and get it out there. And in the spirit realm, the Holy Spirit will make sure everybody who needs to hear my voice today is getting this message. I do my job. I can't do it all. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Somebody out there is listening to this because they need to hear it. Forgiveness. Move in the right direction of it. Fake it till you make it if you have to. Every day, call out the name. Call them by their name and say, I forgive you. Find a way to do it. Work on it every day. Because you do not want to hold yourself back, ladies and gentlemen, from all the great things that God in heaven has for you. It's about you. Forgiveness is about you. All the miraculous and supernatural things that could come your way. But you have to forgive people for this to happen. Jesus Christ said it 3,000 years ago. Forgive people. Forgive people. Forgive everybody just like Father in heaven has forgiven you. We've all done things wrong. We all do wrong things, but we can easily go and be forgiven for these things. He says, you want God in heaven to forgive you, but you're not forgiving other people. That's not how spiritual flow works. Can't. God can't do it because that's not how spiritual things work. You're holding up the blockage of your own blessings. God's not doing it. He says, I can't forgive and let good things happen to you if you don't first forgive other people. Do you have to be like Pablo's dad and find a way? Do what you have to do to forgive in your heart, to let go. Just let go. I like the Nike t-shirt that says, just do it, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, just let go. I think that would be a great t-shirt. All right, guys, that's my assignment for this week. The forgiveness thing has been laying heavy on me just for weeks, actually for weeks. So that's for somebody out there. Got some engagements coming up here, some speaking engagements. Let me see what I can tell you first. The last weekend in June, I believe it's June the 24th, will be at Karate College, Radford University. Glad to be a female professor there. Love it. I love it because Karate College has been around a long time. Radford, Virginia, it's actually my own stomping grounds there in southwestern Virginia. I grew up not too far from there, and I'm always glad to go back. I knew of Karate College in high school before I ever trained, and it's just a real honor for me to be in my hometown area, being able to teach what I'm going to teach. And this year we're going to do Hapkido. I love teaching Hapkido as a form of self-defense, so come on out. We got some really pretty cool stuff planned. Okay, that is June, and then in July the 15th, I do believe the 15th and 16th will be Las Vegas with AMAA and Jesse Bowen, and he is going to be honoring writers. I was honored with the Writers Award last year, and so this year I'm not sure if I'm going to get anything. I'm going to go, though. I'm going to be there. I believe I'm going to be Masters of Ceremony at that event, or I will be there anyway, to help out budding writers. People who've already written books will be there, and we're going to be honoring Bill Wallace. I'm going to be so sick of seeing Bill Wallace because I'm going to see him all summer. I'm going to see him in June at Karate College, and I'm going to see him a couple weeks later in July in Vegas because it is going to be the whole show is in his honor. Of course, everybody loves Bill. I'm also someone who loves him very much. He's just a wonderful guy. And then in October the 7th will be the Sport Karate Museum, and I will be speaking at that event as well. And so that is Professor Gary Lee, so you can see him and get hooked up for that. It's always a nice little dinner there in Houston at the Hilton. I always love seeing everybody there. And if you want to go to Karate College at Radford University, you need to talk to Jerry Beasley. And, of course, the Bill Superfoot Wallace tribute and writer's tribute in Vegas will be Jesse Bowen. So those are your contacts. They're all over the place. You can find them. Just look. They're everywhere. You hit me up. I'll give you the information as well. Thank you for supporting me in my four books and all of my karate columns I've had over the years. And thank you for supporting my causes with Native America and Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. I'm looking forward to making another trip out this year to help train women in Native America, self-defense, and to talk to them and lift them up a little bit because they're so downhearted and trodden, Native America, and they don't get a lot of coverage and attention. So it is my honor to do that. So that's it, guys. I appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you, and I'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment, okay? Pray for me. I pray for you. God bless you. Bye-bye.